We've been on this now. This is the seventh week on this. And so, why are you taking so long? Well, we never really had an in-depth faith message preached here at this church. And in the background I've come out of a Word of Faith camp. I believe that in order for a church to function, y'all got to be on the same page. And so we're trying to put everybody on the same page. Now, if you have not been here the entire 7 weeks, you haven't caught all of the messages, they're being recorded for your benefit. You can get them on your phone if you go to the website and click on media. You can just click right there. There's one that says podcast, and all of our messages are on there. You can just listen to them right on your phone. Now, if you would rather, like some folks, have a CD, first of all, I'm going to pray for you. Secondly, we record those for your benefit as well. We have all the CDs of all 7 weeks out there. I would encourage you to grab a copy of them and listen to them over and over again, because we're giving you so much, but it's only in small increments at a time. But we're really trying to get everybody in the same frame of mind when it comes to moving mountains in your life, because we all have them. Everybody, and you know, some people's mountain might be somebody else's molehill, but it doesn't matter. It's still a mountain. And it all needs to be moved out of your life. And that's what we've been talking about. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Now, what was he talking about? Why were they even having this conversation? Well, he had just cursed a fig tree the day before and said, "Nobody's going to eat fruit from you ever again." And the next day they came back by and they were freaking out. They were like, "Oh my gosh, look, the fig tree has died." And so this is how Jesus answers them. He says, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Jesus is talking about, don't be impressed by a fig tree, this little small fig tree. Don't be impressed with that. If you have faith in God and release your faith in God, you'll be able to speak to mountains and they'll move. Now, was Jesus literally talking about a physical mountain? I don't think so. Although there are plenty of construction and road building companies that have moved mountains. I don't think they stood there and talked to it, though. They used dynamite and TNT and heavy equipment and moved it that way. But I believe that Jesus was speaking to this in a figurative sense for our benefit, to say, listen, doesn't matter how big something is standing in front of you, you can move it. And a lot of people that have grown up around church and maybe have never heard this message before, a lot of people, they look at this and they go, well, you know, everything that comes from God is just given freely, and it's just going to happen. And a lot of people grow up thinking that whatever good happens in your life is just because God wanted it to happen, and whatever bad happened in your life, well, I mean, maybe he probably had something to do with that too, and it's just going to be whatever happens, happens, just whatever comes along. I know I grew up in a Pentecostal church, but I would hear people pray, "If it be your will, Lord, heal me. If it be your will, Lord, touch me. If it be your will, this." And it was really just like, well, all the gifts of God are free, so, I mean, it's, you know, just going to matter not whether you wind up with them or not. And I said to you during week one of this series that whatever grace has freely given us, and he has, come on now, he has given us everything. Come on. Yes. Everything you will ever need or want, he has already given it. Grace has already given it. But whatever has been given freely by grace must be received by faith. All right? So we said to you that faith is what you live by, faith is what you walk by, faith is what we quench the fiery darts of the devil by, but faith is also, come on, what we please God by. And so we said to you that faith is defined simple as we could make it, a strong opinion that is based on the Word of God. And there's two different kinds. There's the Thomas kind of faith that sees it first, then believes it. Then there's the Abraham faith that believes it regardless of what it sees. Well, the Abraham faith is what pleases God. Regardless of what it sees or what it feels, it still believes. All right? Then we said to you, now this can't just be some wild and crazy thing. You're just going to believe even if it's positive, even if it's something that'll do good for you, even if it's something that's great and wonderful. You can't just believe whatever you want to believe and just say, well, that'd be positive and that's good. I mean, I'm just going to believe for $10 million. Well, what do you believe? Where are you getting that at? I mean, seriously, I'm just going to pluck a number out of the air. I'm going to believe for $55 today. Well, why? You can't just pull something completely out of randomness and have faith for it. We said to you that faith can only be based on where the will of God is known. And the only way you know what the will of God is two ways. You can either know it from the Word, and it's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, it's for you right now. Come on, somebody. Somebody ought to be shouting amen about that. If it's in the Bible, it's for you right now. If there's a teaching that's in the Bible, a principle that's in the Bible, something Jesus did, if it's in the Bible, it's for you right now. All right? Now, there are some specific things that the Bible does not teach us, doesn't have an opinion about. Now, there might be the principle of it in there, but there might be a specific thing for you that God has to tell you to believe for that's not there. I remember, like I said when we first started this, I think maybe a few weeks before, I was talking about the Lord had been dealing with me about starting to believe for a new car. And you go, well, what was wrong with your old one? Well, it only had 150,000 miles on it. And it was 10 years old and, you know, starts making weird noises and laying down and spending a lot of time in the shop. And when you go to take it to get fixed, the warranty's out. So now you're starting to spend lots of money to get it fixed. And it's time to start thinking about a new one. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I really felt the Lord leading me to believe for a new one. Now you go, well, does he do that? Listen, if you don't think God's interested in every area of your life, you're going to walk around not being led or anything. You're going to walk around with mysteries and question marks in your life. Listen, God cares about everything in your life, everything. And for us to put a limit on him to think, well, he's got more important things like starving children in Africa and human trafficking. Yes, those are more important. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It takes no extra power from God to fix all of that and help me believe for a new car. You know he can do all that without even blinking? I'm talking about God here. I'm not talking about, you know, the President of the United States or the King of Sweden. I'm talking about God. Come on, somebody. That should have got a better response than that. It is the easiest thing in the world for God to do anything and all things without even blinking an eye. You're about to get it. God can fix anything in your life and fix anything in the world just that fast. And it's no effort on his part. Come on, it took him 6 days to build the earth and all of creation. And how did he do it? How did God create it? How did he do it? He didn't like go out and work and sweat. Nope, he just spoke it out and it happened. Why? Because it's no effort for God. It's just all power, all that he is. Come on, somebody, I'm going to get it. You're going to get this. All power, everything that he is, everything he has is just so effortlessly here. It just happens. And listen, it doesn't take any extra power. People say, well, you ought to be praying for you know, the human trafficking situation and starving children. I do. And I'm believing God to turn that around. Come on, somebody. And we support ministries like, you know, the ones that go in and help those girls. Come on. Come on. We're sending money overseas to help with starving people and stuff. We do that. But it doesn't take any extra effort from him to bless me. Come on, or bless you. It's no extra effort. It's no extra effort, and you guys start believing that way. So God started talking to me and started to say, you need to believe for a new car. Because, you know, this one, you know, you can keep believing me for the money to fix this one. But why would you do that? You can spend the same money and get a new one. Come on, somebody. Yeah. So I did. And I started doing my homework, and this is how God gets you his will other ways, besides what's in the Word. He speaks to you and leads you by your spirit. Jody's mom's here today, my mother-in-law, Sharon, and it's always, I love it when Sharon comes to see us because the boys go crazy and lose their minds, and they're just like, Grandma, they melt down, and it's wonderful, and we just have a great time. And listen, Sharon's got a knack for this kind of stuff. God will lead her to, she bought a Christmas tree one time for less than $10, and it was one of them big, giant, pre-lit ones, you know, that cost like $200 or $500, I don't know how much, but they weigh like a ton, and they're all, and she bought 6 pair of shoes for a penny or something crazy like that. And
for a nickel.
Now, I'm not talking about, like, you know, out at the Salvation Army. I'm talking about at a real store, you know, like, where, and they're having, like, one of them, you know, coupon deals.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's no extra effort for God to lead you to the stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so the Lord started dealing with me about believing for a new car. And so I did, and I started doing my homework and started getting online. And so I was able to get the new version of what I had. But it was coming off of a lease program. It still had the factory warranty on it. Come on, somebody. So I bought a car that's a year and a half old and had less than miles than what you could keep the factory warranty. And my payment is less than Jody's minivan. Come on, somebody. And I'm driving a Cadillac. And you go, wow, do you not love your wife? Jody drove that Cadillac for a long, long, long time. All right. She loves her minivan now, though, because she's a mom. That's another thing the dads will never say. Can I borrow the minivan? I want to go out cruising. That's never going to happen. Okay. Listen, you can't just, but my point is you can't just believe for whatever crazy thing you want to believe for. You either need to find it in the Word or be led by the Spirit to believe for it. And then once you start going to believe for things, you need to put a fresh coat of the Word on your faith. All right. Then we said to you that faith must be released. And it can only be released through confession, all right? Brother Hagin used to say, saying is 3 times more important than the believing. Well, what do I need to be saying? Well, once we know what God has to say about the situation, then we need to be speaking our authority over the mountain. Come on, somebody. You have authority over it. That's why Jesus said, tell it to move. So that's the first thing you need to be speaking. And then you need to be speaking God's word over yourself. You need to be speaking it over yourself, all right? Last week we said your authority is only as good as the power that backs it up. Your authority to speak to that mountain is only as good as the authority that backs it up. And everything that Jesus is in his person, in his death, and in his resurrection is found in his name, and that name belongs to you. What do you call yourself? I'm a Christian. Come on, somebody. What is that? That's his name. Come on, somebody. And it's stuck right on you. And so all the power that's in his name belongs to you. All right, now, here's where we pick up this week. Speaking what God says about you once you're in Christ or once you're a Christian causes those things that God says about you, when you speak them, it causes them to be built into your life. Now turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, and I want you to look at this. There's a couple things we want to pick up on here. First, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now go ahead and go to verse 4. I'll read it to you. It's okay. Verse number 4 says, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. All right? If we had time, we could read through the entire first chapter and look at everything God said, and it happened. God said it, and it happened. God said it, and it happened. All right? God was speaking his word and was causing things to be built. All right? Now, I said to you a couple weeks ago that in Mark 11, 22, where Jesus says, have faith in God, that the original Greek of that actually says, have the faith of God, or faith like God. All right? So how does God have faith? How does he have faith? I mean, people say, I've gotten many arguments about this. People go, God doesn't have faith. He knows it's going to happen. That's how God has faith. When he speaks it, come on, it happens. And that's what Jesus is trying to say to us. We need to have faith like that. That when we speak it, it happens. And so here in verse 4, he actually says that. All right, it says, and God saw the light. Now, when did God see the light? It was after verse number 3. It wasn't God sitting there going, man, I hope there's light today. Oh, look, there is some light be. But that's the way a lot of us do it. A lot of us wait to see it, and then we'll go, oh, yeah, there it is. Mm-mm, yep. But that's not how God operates. God said, let there be light. And then there was light, and then God saw there was light. You got to catch this, people. You got to speak out what God says first before you ever see it. Now, it's not just speaking it out. You got to believe it too. You have to believe what God's word says, then speak it out, and then you see it. Most people do not. You can sit and they can be in the middle of a situation, and they will just go with whatever they're seeing right there, and that's the way it is. All right? God spoke it first, then he saw it. When you speak out all the things that God says about you, when you believe it and you speak it, you are causing those things that God says to be created in your life. So now let's just throw out a little bit of what God says about you. I mean, God says that we are more, come on, than conquerors. He says that I am the head and not the tail. Well, that's pretty good. The word also says that by his stripes, come on, I am healed. Then the word also says that my God shall supply all of your needs according. You start saying that over your life. Think about what you're saying. Think about that. All right? You are causing those things when you believe them and you speak them to be created in your life. Once you speak them out from a firm position of believing, then there is a guarantee that happens that you will see them. That's what Jesus is telling us, that if you speak to the mountain and believe that the things that you're saying will come to pass, you will have whatever you say. There's a guarantee there. But now listen to me. Jesus, or what, God himself, floating around out there, didn't think it, hope it, and then it happened, and then he said it. No, he thought it, he hoped it, then he believed it, spoke it, and then he saw the light. Okay? Now, once it moves from something that you believe to something that's physically, you can put your hands on it, it's not your opinion anymore. It's a fact. Okay? Now, let me say this while we're here. If speaking God's words out from a position of being believed in your heart, when you speak it out, if you say the wrong things, you're negating the power of God in your life, and you're enabling this other thing to be built into your life. Right. Negative confession can cause God's power to not work in your life. And people go, well, I don't believe that. God can do whatever he wants. Really? How's that working out for you? Because if you think what you're going through right now is all God's will and the miserable things that's going on in your life, right? No, it's not. It's not. All the attacks that are coming against you, that's not God. A negative confession can cause God's power to not work in your life. And there's plenty of us that are just turning the power of God off in our lives by the words coming out of our mouths every day. You don't believe me? Good. Mark chapter 6. Let's go there. I'm going to prove this to you. Mark chapter 6. People go, well, God can just do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. No, he cannot. Now, that doesn't mean he's not able. Sure he's able. But he won't, because that's not the way he set this up. He is legally bound by his own integrity. Look at verse number 5. Now this is Jesus. Jesus here. Verse number 5. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he had laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled, look at these next words, because of their unbelief. Then he went to the villages in a circuit teaching. Now you go, well, what did we just read here? Jesus, at this stage in his ministry, in this stage in the gospel, he was going, and people would hear, oh my gosh, that guy Jesus is coming, and they would fill up wherever he was, and he would start doing miracles and start doing crazy things in front of people. And I'm not talking about, you know, a nice seeker-sensitive message. I mean, he did those. He preached good messages. Got, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But then he would also cause, like, crazy stuff to happen. Like, dramatic. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, somebody's got the sniffles. I'm talking about, like, crazy stuff. I mean, seriously, blinded eyes, deaf ears, lepers cleansed. Now, see, we don't really think about lepers anymore, because leprosy doesn't really affect the United States that much. It's still very much here in the world. But leprosy is bad. It's a bad, bad situation. I mean, your body's literally rotting to pieces and suddenly, instantly cleansed. You talk about offensive. Religious people would be bothered by Jesus all over the place today, because there would be no partner, send me $5,000 and I'm going to come to yours. It would be none of that. So that would bother some of them, because it would just be, you know, and then there wouldn't be any I don't care if this bothers you. Boom, leg grows out in front of you. There would be none of that. I mean, people would just be like, you couldn't help but argue. I mean, or not, you couldn't help, you would never argue what you saw him doing. And it would bother you if you were religious. They were bothered by him. And he was causing all kinds of crazy stuff to happen. But he went to this place, and it says there he couldn't do that there. Except he laid on his hands on a few sick folks or sick people and healed them. Now, this word sick is literally the word sickly. Like, we talk about feeling puny and I don't want to go to work today. That's what we're talking about. Little sickly, you know, cold. All right? Now, how do we know that it's because of their unbelief? Well, look, let's back up a few verses here in verse number 2. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. Now, catch this. He's preaching back in his hometown. And he goes and he starts laying out the way. I mean, he's preaching himself. And he is laying it out there. And they are so like, who told him how to preach? And look at they and many hearing him were astonished. Now look at this next word right here. This is huge. All right. Verse 2. Many hearing him were astonished, saying. Catch it. Saying. Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Now, a lot of us would read that and go, well, that means that they were so impressed. No, this is, who does that guy think he is? Verse 3. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Not blessed and impressed. Come on now. They're not like, wow, where do you get that from? I mean, no. They're offended. Who do you think you are? What are they really saying? You're nobody. We've known you since you were a kid. Who do you think you are? What are they saying? They're saying, listen to me now, catch this. They're saying what they believe, come on, already. They're making a confession. Oh, please catch it. They're making a confession of the negative things that they already believe every day. And what happened when they made the negative confession? It's in the verse 5. He could do no mighty work there. Why? Because they believed it and they spoke it and his power went zero. Now listen to me. How much in your life are you going right now, a big overwhelming situation's coming up against you, and you just go, I can't deal with it, and it's just going to be the death of me. Straight out of your heart that you believed it. And what happens? You can't deal with it, and it's tearing you apart. And it's ripping you up inside. And it's tearing apart your marriage. And it's tearing apart your job. And it's tearing apart your life. And it's tearing apart everything about you. Unbelief stopped Jesus from doing miracles. Now let me say this. Unbelief in his power. It was firm belief. Come on. In it was firm belief in the world. But unbelief in Jesus stopped Jesus from doing miracles when he was here on the earth. Guess what? Unbelief will stop God's power from working in your life as well. All right? Now, if we said faith, week one, is an opinion held with complete assurance. All right? When you have natural human faith, and again, we've said that there's sometimes it's okay to have natural human faith. All right? But if that's all you're sticking with, and that's all you release, you are causing the power of God to not work in your life. Now, that's a bomb for some of you, and some of you are like, oh, I don't know about that. I mean, God could still do it. Listen to me. When you go and say whatever it is that you just believe your natural human faith, if that's all you, listen to me, that doesn't mean we don't acknowledge it. See, this is where a lot of people go, well, you're just going to, I mean, people make fun of word of faith people. They go, oh, they just ignore the problem. Nope, we're firmly aware that it's there. Okay? I'm just choosing to not cement it into my life. I am not. I know it's there. Believe me, I feel it every day. Come on. I see it every day. But that's not what I'm going to be moved by. All right? If you have natural human faith and you stick with that, you are causing the power of God to not work in your life. A confession based purely on what your natural human faith tells you will ensure you that what your natural human faith is believing for will be all that you get in your life. I don't like the way they treat me. They treat me bad. They treat me bad. They treat me bad. They treat me bad. Guess what's going to happen next time you see them? Guys, this goes across the board. Doesn't mean that they don't. Doesn't mean that person knows how to treat somebody good. Listen, that's obvious. But why you got to speak it over you? You wake up tomorrow, you're feeling sick. You confess, I think I'm sick. Guess what? You're sick all day. Now, sometimes you might milk it a little bit and add on to it. Oh, somebody bring me Tylenol. Come on, you want to go buy something? It looks like you don't got no money. You appear like you can't afford it. And you say, I could never afford that. And 20 years goes by, come on, somebody, and you still can't afford it. And you almost like a, well, see, I told you. Why do you want to be right about that? Why would we want to be correct about that? Does it really make you feel that much better to know what you said is right when it's just, can I be honest? Can I be real? When it's just crap? Why would you want to be right about that? This is one thing where I would rather be proven wrong. Okay? If I wake up and I'm feeling blue and I'm depressed And I start saying, I'm so depressed. What are you doing? This is going to hit some of you real hard. I hate to say it. But I'm so tired and beat. You don't understand, Pastor. You don't know how late I stayed up last night. You don't know. Listen to me. I'm so tired and beat. Guess what you're going to be all day? You don't know how hard my job is. Guess what your job's going to continue to be? Hard and make you tired and beat. This is a good one. I hate the people I work with. Guess what those people are going to be every time you're around them? Somebody you hate. And you go, no, well, it isn't because of anything I said. It's because that's just the way they are. Maybe so. We're not ignoring the mountain. But I am saying that mountain can't stay where I'm at. So they may be jerks to everybody else in the office. Come on, somebody. But they're not going to be a jerk to me. Oh, but I tried that once, and they were still jerks. I said, move. Things look overwhelming. You get up and say, oh, it's just so overwhelming. Guess what it is? It's overwhelming. You are simply cementing into place what you naturally believe when you make the wrong kind of confession. Cementing it into place. Now, I want you to think about something. When something is cemented into place, it's not easily moved anymore. Right. Now, listen, we can stack blocks on top of each other. You know, Sandy and Jeff used to be masons, or masonry's people. Am I saying that right? Masonry people? And they would do that. Masons didn't sound right, but masonry. That's probably right. Masons, like worship the devil, masons? Or I'm kidding. I know. I was joking. Just totally joking. Anyway, so here's the thing. You can stack blocks on top of each other, but at the same time, I can walk over with my hand alone and pick one up, even if it's stacked on top of each other. I could probably lean against it real hard and knock the whole thing over. But if I put cement in order to move it, catch this now, it's going to take, once that cement sets, now I got to get a sledgehammer or a jackhammer or a tank or something to get it broke apart and moved. Right. Now listen to me. Some of you have been making, and this is not in the notes, so this is right off the wire. Some of you have been making the most negative confession for the longest time that has cemented some things in your place, and you tried one time to make a positive confession and thinking this is going to change overnight. But no, listen to me. You're going to have to get out a sledgehammer or a tank or something and keep speaking it and speaking it and speaking it and speaking it. Some of you got some things really set in there. Addictions, those are going to have to take a while to come out. Oh, I really, listen, it's going to take discipline, and it's going to take you speaking it every day, and you're going to have times that you trip and fall, and you're going to have times that you don't feel like it, and you're going to have times that it looks like it's still kicking your behind. I've been speaking for 5 years now, 150 people, and when I get up and I hear, we're going to be 14 people this morning, aren't going to be there, they're going out of town to see their parents and whatever, and yada, 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 and their dad, and blah, blah, and it makes me want to go, is that working? And I'm sure some of you are going, yeah, he's believing for 150 people. It ain't working for him. I'm not cementing that in place. I don't get up in the morning and go, I don't get it, God. Why don't we just, nobody cares. Nobody wants to be involved. I mean, I could just start complaining all day long. What would I do? I'd cement the destiny of this church, as long as I'm the pastor anyway, to being what it is. And I'm not doing that. I am not moved by what I feel. Come on. I'm not moved by what it looks like. And I'm not going to give into that by making the wrong kind of confession. Yes, but isn't it obvious to you? Yes, it's obvious to me. It doesn't mean we don't acknowledge it. You can't speak the right things to something if you don't acknowledge that the something is there. Many people are so afraid of saying the wrong thing that they won't even acknowledge that there is a problem. I cringe when I talk to some people who are in faith and they go, I don't have no problems. And they go, yeah, but let's at least tell me what you're going through so I can. I'm not going through anything. I'm not going through nothing. Listen, this is not a trick question. I'm not asking you to because I'm the confession police and I want to, you know, write you a citation for making a. I want to know so that we can attack it together and I can pray the prayer of agreement with you. No, there's just nothing. I'm nothing. Some people think that by saying I don't have any problems that they're never going to have any. Like faith is some kind of magic catch-all. I had a conversation with somebody one time, had some really pretty big symptoms going on in his body, big symptoms. And I said, have you been to the doctor so we can know what to pray for? Nope. What are we going to do about that? Oh, nope, no. I just believe that, you know, God's power is working in my body, and I mean, whatever it is, I mean, I'm good. And he woke up every morning with the same symptoms in his body every day. I'm like, why don't you go to the doctor and let's know what to put our faith on? No. There is no sickness. I'm just believing that. And you're still fighting them symptoms. And 5 years later, he's still fighting them symptoms. And 7 years later, come on, he's still fighting them symptoms. And I said, you know what? You need to go to the doctor and let them put a label on it so we can know what to speak to. Yes. Listen, faith is not this magical catch-all that you just, I'm just going to confess everything perfect all the time and nothing's going to, I mean, it's just all going to work out. That's stupid. I love you, but that's stupid. Jesus said these words right here. Whoever says to this, that's huge, this mountain. You can't speak to a mountain if you're not going to turn and look at it and acknowledge that it's there. I'm not ignoring my problem. I'm not denying that it's there, but I'm not going to cement it into place. Now, a wrong confession is something that'll strengthen the mountain to stay there. A wrong confession would be adding heaps of dirt and rock on this mountain to make it bigger. Okay? When Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, this mountain is the acknowledgement. I see you. Cancer, I see you. Big unexpected bill, I see you. Come on. Addiction, I see you. Sickness, I see you. All right? That's it. That's all you're saying. That's all you're giving credence to. You're not giving any more glory to that thing. You're not going to build it up anymore. Okay? You said this is the problem. Not this problem is so horrible. This thing is my spouse is so horrible. I look at I see you marriage problems. My spouse is so awful. I see you stress at the job. My job is terrible. See what you're doing? You're adding to it. Okay? I see you symptoms. My health is failing. Somebody pray for me. You're adding to it. Okay? The wrong confession will add strength to the mountain, but then it also will make the problem make sure it's yours. You ever hear that one? I have diabetes. What'd you just do? You just made sure that you attached yourself to that. You know, I am an alcoholic. What did you just say? You just called yourself something. I have this. I am poor. Come on. Here's a big one. Do it all the time. Oh, I can't do that. What are you doing? A negative confession not only strengthens the mountain, but it makes sure you possess it. That's yours now. I am this. I have this. This is mine. This is a great one. I get headaches, or I get whatever. Just 2 days ago, I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who it was, and they're like, I'm highly allergic to everything. Well, you just made sure you're going to stay allergic to everything for a while. Well, you go, well, I mean, allergies. I mean, listen to me. I got healed of horrible allergies, 9 years old, dramatically healed, like having to go and take shots twice a week. Going to Cincinnati a couple times a year and getting big tests done. I mean, I was allergic to everything. Had hands laid on me in service and prayed, and I believed I received it. And about a week later, my mom was like, oh, no, we're out of your allergy medicine. We need to go. And I said, no, it's okay. I'm healed. And I never took another shot for the rest. I have not had one the rest of my life. I will not. I'm 46 years old, so 37 years ago, I got healed. And it's never come back. When you make the wrong confession, you're making those things yours. A wrong confession stops God's power from working, and your mountain will not move. And here's how we'll close right here. And I'm just going to touch on this for a minute. We'll probably continue along these lines for next week. But here's what I wanted you to catch. Is the difference between hope and faith. Because a lot of people hope for something to happen. Boy, I sure do hope that happens. I sure do hope so. I sure do hope so. I sure do hope so. Now, I want to say this. Hope is good. Hope is good. Nothing wrong with hope. In fact, the Bible talks about it. It says, you know, there's these three things, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. All right. Hope's a good thing. It's part of, you know, it's part of, I mean, in the scriptures, Jesus called himself the great hope. I mean, the hope of all mankind. I mean, all right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 puts hope in perspective for us. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, what is the difference between hope and faith? Well, hope is what it's what gives you the desire or the want for good things in your life. Listen, when you look at a situation and you go, I really would like to see this situation change for the better, that is hope. That's what that is, okay? Hope is defined as the acceptance of the present and an expectation of the future, but it's based on the past. Did you catch that? It's an acceptance of the present with an expectation of the future based on the past. So, for example, if I'm walking and I trip and fall in the same place, you know, in my neighborhood I run on the sidewalks and there's uneven spots and I've tripped on them a few times. And that's no fun. No fun. It's embarrassing, but it also hurts. Now, if you trip and fall on the same one every time, the same place every time, you just put your earphone, you know, and I have, admit it, I've done it. I've put my headphones on and zone out, and I'm running, and, you know, and I'm somewhere else, and just kind of looking up, and boom, trip, fall. Meant to do that. Or if I catch myself early enough falling, I'll kind of go into a, like a roll and jump back up like I'm doing some kind of karate or something. But now if I keep doing that in the same place every time, eventually I'm going to get to the point when I'm putting my earphones in, I'm going to go, I hope I don't fall today. Because I know myself, I get just how I process. I unplug from reality, just, you know, and I'm just lost in thought. Don't really, not even paying attention where I'm at. I hope I don't trip and fall today. I hope I'm not so deep in thought that I don't trip and fall. Okay? Now listen to me. Chances are good. I'm probably going to, because the last 3 days I've tripped in the same place every time. So what am I doing? I've accepted what I've done. I'm expecting the future to probably repeat because of what I've done the last 3 days. Do you understand? All right, that's hope, all right? This is why hope is never sure. It's always a maybe. It's unsure. Now, listen, we've all lucked into good things every now and then. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, sometimes just something good happens, and it's just like, yay. You ever been around somebody that good things keep happening for all the time, and you really can't stand being around them? Be honest. You're in church. If not, I'm going to open the altars for liars. Come on now. Seriously. You get around somebody, and it just seems like good things keep happening for them all the time, all the time, all the time. And it's like, God, I hate you. Seems like everything works out for you all the time. Okay? And in your life, you luck into those good things every now and then. All right? And when we luck into those good things, that's why we're unsure when another one's coming. Because of our past. And catch this now, I'm going somewhere. Because of the past, well, when something good happened before, I wasn't really doing anything. I wasn't doing anything specific. It just kind of happened. And that's why you're always unsure when another good thing's coming. You're basing it on the past. Do you get it? Now, you can hope all day long, and we've all hoped for stuff, and sometimes hope happens. I hope this happens, and it does. But the vast majority of the time, come on, we're frustrated, aren't we? Oh, I hope this happens. Oh, but it's not going to. Okay? Hope doesn't, here's why. Hope doesn't give substance to anything because hope is never sure it's going to happen. If substance does come, it's usually through the goodness of somebody else or just plain old luck. But now if you're writing stuff down, you'll want to write this down. Big, bold letters. They're going to put it on the screen for you. Faith gives substance to your hope. And it is always sure of the substance because it's not based on the goodness of someone else. It's based, come on somebody, on the goodness of God. Now listen, this is why Hebrews says what it says. Faith gives us substance. Are you catching this yet? Of things hoped for. So the things you hope for, that you go, man, that would sure be nice. Faith will reach out there and make you sure you're going to get it because it says, God said I can have it. That's mine. I'll take that. I should have got a better response than that. Okay? It's based on the goodness of God who is always the same and is never changing. Did you catch that? He's always the same. He's never changing. And if God did it for one person, I'm preaching better than this, and I know this is probably hitting y'all some new, but you need to catch it. If God is never changing, he's always the same, come on. And if he did it for one, come on, he's going to do it for me. He's going to do it for you. And if he did it for you once, he has to do it again. And again, well, what if he's trying to teach me something? Listen, he says, I am the Lord and I change not. So if you stood on his word and he blessed you with something, come on, you can stand up just as bold and say, that's mine again. I don't have to be hoping and living in a maybe. I can be living in sureness. I can live in a, this one scares people. I can live in the guarantee of God's word coming truth in my life. That's what the difference is between faith and hope. I'm not basing it on my past. I'm not basing it on what happened yesterday. I'm not basing it on how I feel today. I'm basing my decision and my trip forward and everything I do from this point on the goodness of God that he says in his word. Heads bowed, eyes closed.